The Irish Times, election 2011.
I certainly can't recall an election in my lifetime in which there was so much talk of political reform and so many promises on the table from the different political parties. I also detect a fair old note of cynicism out there about what might actually be achieved by the next government or in the next Dáil. So a difference perhaps between perception or sales pitch and reality. And I'm joined in studio by two gentlemen, Joe Curtin and Johnny Ryan of reformcard.com. Essentially, I suppose, Johnny, you're trying to keep track of what those promises are and perhaps even more importantly, which of them might end up getting delivered.
This is a very simple idea. We're used to rating things in life. If someone wants to buy a book, it probably has a 5-star review on Amazon. If someone wants to buy a fridge, it probably has an A+ energy rating badge on it. So the way this idea came to life was that my colleague sitting across from us here, Joseph Curtin, does work for the OECD. And what he does is he goes to other countries and he looks at what they're doing to meet their climate change goals across their entire economies. Obviously, he has to develop metrics for that. And he walked into my office one day, just before Christmas, and he said, Johnny, I think we should do this and bring some sort of empirical measurement to political reform promises, because what we have is a singular moment of opportunity. My own background is that I'm a digital researcher and author of a book, The History of the Internet and the Digital Future. And so I've looked at how, especially in the US, politics has moved from beyond using the internet as a digital soapbox to using it as a platform for measuring delivery increasingly. So together, we're working on stages 1 and 2 of this project. We're looking at rating the reform and then measuring
delivery. In relation to the work you were talking about climate change, that can be measured in terms of both scientifically and economically in terms of certain measures that are brought in. Economic strategy, I think you can see how that'll be measured. There are numbers involved. There are economic reports and indicators. Political reform, is that not something that's much more in the eye of the beholder with different views about what's the best route to take? How do you measure that in the same way?
What captured my imagination about this was I knew from being in college 15 years ago in Trinity College Dublin when I was studying political science, I knew that there was a fair degree of consensus about what needed to be done to fix our broken political system. Just back then there was no appetite to do it. And so we took political reform per se and we said, well, how do we systemize political reform into something that can be measured? So we worked with the academic panel on developing a methodology, and we came up with 5 priority areas for reform.
And what we have is really the best political science talent from Ireland. So there are 8 academics, and they are tapping in turn into best international practice. So whenever they are challenged on anything, they say, look, the following study has been done and is the best answer we have for whatever the question that has been asked. And that's a lot better than a hunch by a politician with a hobby horse.
What are the key areas you're looking at?
We have a Oireachtas reform, so it's reform of the Dáil to try and make it work properly. It doesn't work properly at the moment. The biggest problem is that the opposition doesn't have any power and the executive is completely dominant and it's more or less a rubber stamp institution.
Isn't that a phenomenon which is not peculiar just to Ireland? I mean, you see complaints, for example, about the parliamentary system in the UK not functioning as it should and becoming more presidential and less parliamentary. So is that perhaps a function of changes in Western democracy and Western society more broadly than just being peculiar to Ireland?
Well, according to our experts, we have the most executively dominated political system in Europe. The UK is another example of a very executively dominated system. But if the European norm, no, that's not the case. Take things like a committee system, take things like proper debate of legislation before it takes shape. You know, that's when you can really influence legislation. But what happens here is that legislation gets more or less decided in cabinet and it just goes straight to the Dáil. Rubber stamp, guillotine of legislation, no proper debate.
Could I jump in there as well? I mean, one of the reasons why everything that Joe's just described are so important is that this is about institutional reform. We've received a little bit of criticism. Why haven't you covered this or that, for example? Why aren't you dealing explicitly with economic policy? The idea is that you should not waste a crisis. We have a consensus about that across this country. What is one of the most difficult things to reform? The entire apparatus and institutions of how governance decisions are made. And that's what this project is about.
Johnny and I feel like, you know, we've had a lot of opportunity. We've been given a lot of opportunity by this country. And we wanted to sort of, what can we do to try and ensure that we're not back here again in 30 years? If we have kids, that they're not back here trying to solve these problems again. You know, the greatest minds in the country are trying to figure out the economic, you know, crisis. Best to look to them. We are not going to try and add to that debate.
There are some policies on the table, I know, and we might touch on those, but from some of the political parties in relation to reform of the committee system, longer sitting, more accountability generally, and more efficient and transparent system.
Empowerment of the opposition, for example, to give them more resources, that kind of thing. getting rid of guillotine, giving the Oireachtas committees, reversing Abbey Lara, those kind of things are the things that are on the table. Oireachtas reform, electoral reform, which is quite controversial, and a lot of we received a little bit of criticism for our treatment of that area.
Why so?
We decided to be agnostic towards reform of the electoral system, or sorry, not we, the academic panel decided to be agnostic. So they said that because there is no consensus in the literature, and in fact any degree of consensus suggests that our electoral system is not the problem, the panel, I think their consensus view is we need to fix PRSDV, not kind of throw it out. The received wisdom in society and in the political debate and to a certain degree among political parties is that the electoral system is responsible for cronyism. But the panel took the view that if you fix the other parts of the system and the system works together as a whole, that these issues would be addressed anyway in the PRSDV. So it's a sort of a cause and effect thing. What is the cause? And there's a fair degree of consensus in the academic panel that in fact the electoral system is not the cause.
And the other areas then?
So open government, which covers things like restoration of freedom of information, publishing government data online, whistleblower legislation, those kind of areas. Public sector reform. So we're not getting into, again, the economic side of it. We're not getting into whether we need to downsize or upsize or whether we need to increase or decrease public servants' wages. What we're talking about is things like increasing accountability in the public service.
And so making it more efficient and more accountable, essentially. Mm.
And the last one would be local government reform. So we have a very incredibly fragmented, poorly funded and dysfunctional public or local government system, which a lot of people consider to be actually at the root of a lot of our problems. One of the areas, for example, we're measuring under local government is citizen participation. That's another thing that we don't have. So not only do the constituent parts of the system not have much power, but the actual people have very little power to influence legislation. And so we've considered this under two areas. So electoral reform, one of the areas that we were measuring was the extent to which political parties were willing to allow people to have a role, maybe in the form of a citizens' assembly, in reforming the system.
That, so that's a kind of fifth channel, is the process of actually implementing a reform itself,
it
and whether it's top-down or bottom-up.
Yeah, it doesn't fit neatly into any particular area, but we put it under electoral reform to find a home for it. Each of these five areas is measured with five indicators. So we have five broad areas, five indicators. That's one of our indicators, so it's 1/25th of the scoring system, if you like. And then under local government, we also had empowering people in whatever form. Like, so we're agnostic towards how a political party will try and address that issue. It's funny that, you know, the major parties weren't really that into looking at that kind of area.
Why do you think that is?
I think in terms of local government, what we're talking about are things that are very unpopular. So, for example, moving towards more regional governance and away from this fragmented local government. But you know what happens when you want to regionalise anything in Ireland? Look what's happened in the health service. I don't need to spell it out. Mm-hmm. Extremely unpopular politically. Second thing is, another thing we're talking about is proper funding of local government. What does that mean?
How are the parties doing? By your measure.
Joe has the scores. So
I've got the scores in front of me. So,
If I had a drum roll, I would do it.
So, we finally got around to the actual scoring. So these are the results of the Irish academic panel. So Fine Gael came out on top. They scored 74 out of 100. So one of the lines I heard used by our academic panel explaining this was that, you know, well, they're strong across all areas except for local government, but they've been developing their policy. They've had the chance to develop their policy for a period of 2 years, really, and they really have run this election very much on a policy platform. And Labour, I mean, Labour came second. They scored 68. The Greens, originally we scored the manifestos, but they published a supplementary policy document, so their score moved to 68 as well. So they were more or less the same score as Labour in the end. Fianna Fáil were 58, and the areas that they fell down on particularly were local government, where they more or less had no proposals whatsoever in the local government area, but they actually did very strongly in a lot of other areas. For example, Oireachtas reform, they had a lot of proposals to reform the functioning of the Dáil and to improve its functioning. For example, one of the things to address the kind of cabinet dominance issue was to bring in external expertise, which was considered by academic panel to be quite a novel suggestion. And
if only they'd been in power for the last 15 years, we might have even seen some of your proposals implemented already.
I know, it would have been fantastic.
You would have to make the point, and I'm sure you have taken it on board, that there have been plenty of proposals for political reform put forward by various political parties over the last 30 or 40 years.
Yeah.
And to be honest, we've seen damn all concrete results.
There are two responses to that, which I'll give in a sec, but you've one party left.
Sinn Féin. Sinn Féin was 53, and then I think Johnny is in a good position to... We're going to try and address that.
Yeah, I mean, the first thing is that each of those 125 indicators is scored between 0 and 4. And for it to get a 4, it has to be in the manifesto. The reason for that is that the academic panel assured us at the outset that things that are in the manifesto are proven internationally to end up in the programme for government. So while there may have been certain commitments, in inverted commas, to reform in the past. What we're now seeing is that the parties who are scoring highest have made commitments in a document that you can beat them over the head with after the election. The second thing is that as stage one of this project ends, and it'll end with our scoring of the programme for government once it's released, stage two will be beginning. And stage two will leverage what has started to happen in the last few weeks. We've started to see that reformcard.com has attracted a community of people who are volunteering their time pro bono. Not only are we not making any cash out of this, or the academic panel, but there are people we have never met, web developers, data visualizers, policy researchers, and they are doing stuff for us that we have not even asked them to do. They've just suddenly appeared. We've put a few requests into a few forums, and they're building tools for us. Some of the tools that are currently being built are measures of tracking, constitutional change, citizens' initiatives, and legislation, so that literally the idea is there'll literally be a straight line and you can see how different strands of policy is progressing along that line. And if there's a problem with the progression and with the delivery of the promised reform commitment, that line will show a big break and then people will start to discuss and reach for the data to show why that break has happened. So what will happen in stage two, what's beginning to happen, is that volunteers are engaging in public scrutiny of the government's, the next government's commitments to delivering on reform. That's an interesting thing to happen in Irish politics.
But what you can do is you can go onto our website, reformcard.com.
A volunteer called Paul Dixon, out of the blue, literally, built a tool for us where you can click on the different parties and drill down into each score and find out exactly what in the manifesto
is. And there'll be an expert comment from our academic panel in each area.
We'll have to leave it there, but I think I'd reiterate the point that it's like a puppy. It's not just for Christmas. This process is going to continue on after the election.
And that's how we're looking for volunteers.
Stuff. And people can go to reformcard.com if they want to find out more. Thanks very much to Joe Curtin and Johnny Ryan for joining us.